What's up, guys? This is Horror Fan, and welcome back to my podcast on Anchor. Today, I'm gonna do a very long horror talk. It is Joseph James D'Angelo Jr., or people call him the Golden State Killer, probably, but yeah. This happened 2 years ago, actually. He was born, he's still alive. He's born on November 8, 1945. He is 76 years old currently, in Bath, New York. People called him Vicella Red Psycher, East Area Rapist, East Side Rapist, East Bay Rapist, Creek Bed Killer, Diamond Knot Killer, Night Stalker, not like Richard Ramirez. Original Night Stalker, yes, of course. Well, yeah, basically he was the original. I think people call him the original Night Stalker before Richard Ramirez. Aaron's the Golden State Killer, which people are now calling him that, actually. He was actually a former police officer and a mechanic. His height is 5 feet 10 inches. He was married to Sharon Marie Huddle, married 1973, divorced in 2019, 1 year before he was arrested. They had 3 children together. He was convicted of murder and kidnapping, criminal penalty, 12 life sentences plus 8 years. He killed 13 people, he raped 50, and he burglarized 120 houses. He did this since 1974 through 1986. Guys, get this. He was never caught until 2 years ago, actually. So, of course, it was genetic genealogy. I actually heard of him being arrested when I was on Snapchat. I was like, oh, NBC News. They haven't, like, found out who was a killer until 2 years ago. He said that he was the killer, obviously, of course. So, yeah. He did this in California. He was actually apprehended in April 24, 2018. So, almost 5 years ago. So, if you guys heard of him, great. For those of you who never heard of him. So, basically, he is an American serial killer, serial rapist, burglar, and former police officer who committed at least 13 murders, 50 rapes, and 120 burglaries across California between 1974 and 1986. He was responsible for at least 3 crime sprees throughout the state, each of which spawned a different nickname in the press before it became evident that they were committed by the same person. In the San Joaquin Valley, he was known as the Visalia Ransacker before moving to the Sacramento area where he became known as the East Area Rapist and was linked by Modus Operandi to additional attacks in Contra Costa County, Stockton, and Modesto. D'Angelo committed serial murders in Santa Barbara, Ventura, and Orange counties, where he was known as the Night Stalker and later the original Night Stalker, owing to serial killer Richard Ramirez also being called the Night Stalker. But guys, get this. Basically, D'Angelo, he started killing in 1974. Ramirez, he started killing in 1984. So, D'Angelo is the original one before Ramirez. So, obviously, yeah. He is believed to have taunted and threatened both victims and police in obscene phone calls and possibly written communications. So basically, the reason why he was never caught is because obviously he was a former police officer. So that's why people never. So basically, he was never caught. So why wasn't he never caught? So obviously, yeah. So why did it take so long to arrest the Golden State Killer? So basically, because the killer was thought to have law enforcement or military experience. So basically, that was him, law enforcement. So that's why he was a police officer, and that's why he would, like, get away with murder. So obviously, that's why. Because I was kind of confused, like, how would a police officer become a serial killer? That makes no sense. Seriously, ridiculous. So during the decades-long investigation, several suspects were cleared through DNA evidence, alibi, or other investigative methods. In 2001, after DNA testing indicated that the East Area rapist and the original Night Stalker were the same person, the combined acronym EARONS came into use. The case was a factor in the establishment of California's DNA database, which collects DNA from all accused and convicted felons in California, and has been called second only to Virginia's in effectiveness in solving cold cases. To heighten awareness of the case, crime writer Michelle McNamara coined the name Golden State Killer in early 2013. Is Michelle she passed away. She died in 2016. Oh my god. Oh. She was married to actor Patton Oswalt. Are you... Oh my god, I didn't know that. She was 46 years old. She and Patton had one child together. She died in her sleep on April 21st, 2016. Her death was due to the effects of multiple prescription drugs, including Adderall, Xanax, and the pain medication fentanyl. Several of the medications were not prescribed to McNamara, and other drugs, including cocaine and levamisole, were also found in her possession. Oh god, I did not know that. May she rest in peace. My heart goes out to Patton and their child. It's crazy. So on June 15, 2016, the Federal Bureau of Investigation and local law enforcement agencies held a news conference to announce a renewed nationwide effort offering a $50,000 reward for the Golden State Killer's capture. Then, on April 24, 2018, authorities charged 72-year-old D'Angelo with 8 counts of first-degree murder based upon DNA evidence, of course, you know, like the 21st century, obviously. Investigators had identified members of D'Angelo's family through forensic genetic genealogy. Genealogy. This was also the first announcement connecting the Vizela Ransacker crimes to D'Angelo. So basically, after he was arrested, him and his wife got divorced. So yeah. Owing to California's statute of limitations on pre-2017 rape cases, D'Angelo could not be charged with 1970s rapes, which is kind of weird, but he was charged in August 2018 with 13 related kidnapping and abduction attempts. Then, 2 years later, on June 29, 2020, D'Angelo pleaded guilty to multiple counts of murder and kidnapping. As part of a plea bargain that spared him the death penalty, that's not surprising, D'Angelo was also admitted to numerous crimes with which he had not been formally charged, including rapes. On August 20, 2020, D'Angelo was sentenced to life imprisonment without the possibility of parole. And of course, that was like during the pandemic where he was found guilty. And he had to wear a mask because obviously, the pandemic, obviously. So before I get on to the horror talk and how did D'Angelo became from a police officer to a freaking serial killer who he was never caught for almost 40 years, don't forget to follow me on Anchor and Spotify. Let's get on to the horror talk of Joseph James D'Angelo. Well, obviously, it was over 40 years that he was never caught. So basically, yeah, because like he started this in 1974, then he was caught in 2018. So probably, yeah. Okay, early life and career. So Joseph James D'Angelo Jr. was born on November 8, 1945 in Bath, New York to Kathleen Louise DeGroat and Joseph James D'Angelo, a sergeant in the United States Army. Oh, crap. He has two sisters and a younger brother. A relative reported that when D'Angelo was a young child, he witnessed his 7-year-old sister's rape by 2 airmen in a warehouse in West Germany where the family was stationed at the time. Oh my god. Following D'Angelo's conviction, one of his sisters claimed that he was abused by their father while he was growing up. Wow, his siblings are still alive? Damn. Between 1959 and 1960, D'Angelo attended Mills Junior High School in Rancho Cordova, California. Beginning in 1961, he attended Folsom High School, from which he received a GED certificate in 1964. He played on the school's junior varsity baseball team. Prosecutors, however, reported that D'Angelo committed burglaries and tortured and killed animals during his teenage years. Oh, god. Okay, great. Similar to Jeffrey Dahmer. That's surprising. Then he joined the United States Navy. Oh, so that was before he became a police officer, okay. In September 1964, and served for 22 months during the Vietnam War as a damage control man on the cruiser USS Canberra and the destroyer tender USS Piedmont. Beginning in August 1968, D'Angelo attended Sierra College in Rockland, California. He graduated with an associate degree in police science with honors. He attended Sacramento State University in 1971, where he earned a bachelor's degree in criminal justice. D'Angelo later took postgraduate courses and further police training at the College of the Sequoias in Visalia, then completed a 32-week police internship at the police department in Roseville. Now, the police officer. So, from May 1973 to August 1976, D'Angelo was a burglary unit police officer in Exeter, having relocated from Citrus Heights. He then served in Auburn from August 1976 to July 1979 when he was arrested for shoplifting a hammer and dog repellent. He was sentenced to 6 months of probation and then he got fired in October. During the process of being fired, D'Angelo threatened to kill the chief of a police and allegedly stalked the chief's house. Oh, so that explains a lot. So that's shit. I did not see that coming. Shit. One second, guys. No, thank God for that. Hold on, guys. Ew. Okay, so marriage and relationship, sorry. So in May 1970, law enforcement student D'Angelo, of course, became engaged to nursing student Bonnie Jean Caldwell, a classmate at Sierra College, but she broke it off in 1971 after D'Angelo became manipulative and abusive. Oh shit. So after the breakup, he threatened her with a gun in order to force her to marry him. Jeez! Then in November 1973, he married Sharon Marie Huddle in Placer. In 1980, they purchased a house in Citrus Heights where he was eventually arrested decades later. Huddle became a divorce attorney. Okay, hello. In 1982, and they had three daughters. Two were born in Sacramento, and one was born in Los Angeles. Before the couple separated in 1981. Whoa, really? Huh, they were separated. I didn't know that. You know what's so weird? How come he stayed with his first wife, where he was manipulative and abusive to his partner? That makes no sense. That's so weird, huh? We'll never know. Then in July 2018, several months after D'Angelo's arrest, Huddle filed for a divorce, which was finalized the following year. Employment. D'Angelo's employment history during the 1980s is unknown, unfortunately. From 1989 until his retirement in 2017, he worked as a truck mechanic at a Save Mart supermarkets distribution center in Roseville. He was arrested in 1996 over failing to pay for gas, but the charge was dismissed. How do you, like, wait, you don't pay, why you don't pay gas, you dumbass of fuck? But then there were loud outbursts, so, D'Angelo's brother-in-law claimed that D'Angelo would casually bring up the East Area rapist in conversation around the time of the ritual crimes. Oh. Neighbors reported that he frequently engaged in loud, profane outbursts. One neighbor reported that his family received a phone message from D'Angelo threatening to, quote, deliver a load of death, end quote, because of their barking dog. He was living with a daughter and granddaughter at the time of his arrest. Jeez. Crimes. So DNA evidence linked D'Angelo to 8 murders in Goleta, Ventura, Dana Point, and Irvine. Two other murders in Goleta, lacking DNA evidence, were linked by Modus Operandi. D'Angelo pleaded guilty to 3 other murders, 2 in Rancho Cordova and 1 in Visalia. He also committed more than 50 known rapes in the California counties of Sacramento, Contra Costa, San Islas, San Joaquin, Alameda, Santa Clara, and YOLO, wait, what? And he was linked to hundreds of incidents of thefts, burglaries, vandalism, peeping, stalking, and prowling. What the fuck, prowling? Hold on, wait, let me see. That's interesting. I never heard of that word, prowling. Don't judge me, guys. Please don't judge me. Please. Oh, that's your mic, so though. Let's see. Prowling. Oh, of a person or animal move around restlessly and stealthily, especially in search of or as if in search of prey. Oh, so he was like an animal, probably. All right. So the first is the Vizsla ransacker from 1973 to 1976. So it was long suspected that the training ground of the criminal who became the East Area Rapist was Vizsla, although earlier Vizsla crimes dating back as early as May 1973 and other sprees like that of the Cordova cab burglar and the Exeter ransacker, as well as Vizsla burglaries that took place after the McGowan shooting, are now suspected to be linked as well. Over a period of 20 months, D'Angelo is believed to have been responsible for one murder and around 120 burglaries. So basically, I think he was like used to burgling someone's house, then murdering someone. Like, what the fuck? And also raping, obviously. Like, what's ridiculous? So, in late April 2018, the Vizsla chief of police stated that while there was no DNA linking D'Angelo to the Central Valley cases, his department had other evidence that played a role in the investigation, and he was, quote, confident that the Vizsla ransacker has been captured, end quote. Nope. Though the statutes of limitations for the burglaries have each expired, D'Angelo was formally charged on August 13, 2018, with the first-degree murder of Claude Snelling in 1975. 2 years ago, D'Angelo pleaded guilty to the Snelling murder. How old was Claude Snelling? Oh, 45 years old. Wow. Huh. Okay, so first is the burglary. So, burglaries. I cannot pronounce that right because I used to before, but now I can't, like, what the fuck. So, the first recorded ransacking occurred on March 19, 1974, when a sum of $50 in coins was stolen from a piggy bank. Most of the ransackers' activities involved breaking into houses, rifling through or vandalizing the owner's possessions, scattering women's underclothes, and stealing a range of low-value items while often ignoring banknotes and higher-value items in plain sight. So wait, why did he steal low-value items than higher? Maybe he didn't care about items that were like richer, or like, maybe, I'm not sure, Susie. I mean, like, because, like, listen, guys, listen, I'm just a podcaster who does like horror talks, not like a psychiatrist or whatever the fuck. Literally, it's like, okay, come on, dear, really. The ransacker will also often arrange or display items in the house, items emptied including piggy banks and coin jars, and stolen items often included blue chip stamps, foreign or historic coins, and personal items such as single earrings, cufflinks, rings, or medallions, but also included six weapons and various types of ammunition. Multiple same-day ransackings were common as well, including 12 separate incidents on November 30, 1974. There were common MOs of the burglaries that were also included. Climbing fences and moving through established routes such as parks, walkways, ditches, and trails, attempting to pry open multiple points of entry, particularly windows, leaving multiple points of escape open, especially windows as well as the house, garage, and garden doors, moving removed window screens onto beds or into bedrooms, placing warning items such as dishes or bottles against doors and on door handles, and wearing gloves given the absence of fingerprint evidence. There was a composite sketch of the Vizsla ransacker, probably the shootings. I mean, it was a good sketch, but still, they couldn't find D'Angelo because obviously, you know, he was a former police officer, or maybe he was at the time, so like I think he was killing people and also becoming a police officer, that people got away with that shit. That he got away with this shit and he was never caught, which is so freaking crazy. Like, holy crap. One second, drink some water. Okay. Now the shootings. Okay, so on September 11, 1975, D'Angelo broke into the home of Claude Snelling, 45, at 532 Whitney Lane, now it's renamed as South Whitney Street. Snelling, a journalism professor at the College of the Sequoias, had previously chased a prowler discovered under his daughter's window around 10 p.m. on February 5, 1975. Oh, okay, that's interesting. On September 11, he was awakened around 2 a.m. by strange noises. Upon leaving his bedroom, Snelling ran through the open back door and confronted a ski-masked intruder in his carport, attempting to kidnap his daughter, who had been subdued with threats of being stabbed or shot. Snelling was then shot twice, staggered back into the house to his wife, and later died. After the shooting, the assailant fled the scene, leaving behind a stolen bicycle at 615 Redwood Street. After the murder, Beth Snelling, 16, a cheerleader at Mount Whitney High School, underwent hypnosis in order to gather further details. 16 she was? Oh my god. The Vizela police also committed more resources to apprehending the ransacker, and a $4,000 reward, which is equivalent to $19,366 in 2021, was posted. Let me just say that again because I talk so fast. Sorry. Snelling was then shot twice, staggered back into the house to his wife, and later died. So, nighttime stakeouts were set up near houses that he had previously prowled, but the ransackings continued. So, then 3 months later, around 8:30 p.m. on December 12, 1975, a masked man entered the backyard of a house at 1505 West Cowie Avenue, near where the ransacker had been reported to frequent. When Detective William McGowan, who was on stakeout inside the garage, attempted to detain the man, the suspect shrieked, removed his mask, and feigned surrender after McGowan fired a warning shot. However, after jumping the fence to the house at 1501, he also pulled out a revolver with his left hand and fired once near McGowan's face, shattering his flashlight. Oh, wow. Thank God he survived. Nearby officers rushed to aid McGowan, and the shooter was able to escape. Items collected as evidence included the flashlight, tennis shoe tracks, and dropped loot, namely blue chip stamps and a blue sock full of coins. Then, of course, East Area Rapists that occurred in 1976 through 1979. So D'Angelo moved to the Sacramento area in 1976, where his crimes escalated from burglary to rape. The crimes initially centered on the then unincorporated areas of Carmichael Chel, Citrus Heights, and Rancho Cordova, east of Sacramento. His initial modus operandi was to stalk middle-class neighborhoods at night in search of women who were alone in one-story homes, usually near a school, creek, trail, or other open space that would provide a quick escape. He was seen a number of times, but always successfully fled. On one occasion, he shot and seriously wounded a young pursuer. Aw, man. Most victims had seen or heard a prowler on their property before the attacks, and many had experienced break-ins. Police believed that the offender would conduct extensive reconnaissance in a targeted neighborhood, looking into windows and prowling in yards before selecting a home to attack. It was believed that he sometimes entered the homes of future victims to unlock windows, unload guns, and plant ligatures for later use. A garrote or garrotteville, a weapon, usually a handheld ligature of chain, rope, scarf, wire, or fishing line, used to strangle a person. What the hell? Dude, he's crazy. How is this fucking line right now? He frequently telephoned future victims, sometimes for months in advance, to learn their daily routines. Although D'Angelo originally targeted women alone in their homes or with children, he eventually preferred attacking couples. This change in modus operandi is believed to be a direct result of media reports claiming he only attacked women alone in the home. His usual method was to break in through a window or sliding glass door with door and awaken the sleeping occupants with a flashlight, threatening them with a handgun. Victims were subsequently bound with ligatures, often shoelaces, that he found or brought with him, then blindfolded and gagged with towels that he had ripped into strips. The female victim was usually forced to tie up her male companion before she was bound. The bindings were often so tight that the victim's hands were numb for hours after being untied. He then separated the couple, often stacking dishes on the male's back and threatening to kill everyone in the house if he heard them rattle. He removed the woman to the living room and raped her, often repeatedly. A decade later, police reported that D'Angelo repeatedly said, quote, "I hate you, Bonnie," end quote, during a 1978 rape, which it was the 37th attack. Maybe the victim was Bonnie? Maybe? I'm not sure, but that's kind of weird. D'Angelo sometimes spent hours in the home ransacking closets and drawers, eating food in the kitchen, drinking beer, again, of course, raping the woman again, or making additional threats. Victims sometimes thought he had left the house before he jumped from the darkness. That was quote and quote, sorry. He typically stole items, often personal objects and items of little value, but occasionally cash and firearms. He then crept away, leaving victims uncertain if he had left. He was believed to escape on foot through a series of yards and then use a bicycle to go home or to a car, making extensive use of parks, schoolyards, creek beds, and other open spaces that kept him off the street. The East Area Rapist operated in Sacramento County from the first attacks in June 1976 until May 1977. After a three-month gap, he struck in nearby San Joaquin County in September before returning to Sacramento for all but one of the next 10 attacks. The rapist attacked five times during the summer of 1978 in Stanislaus and Yolo counties before disappearing again for 3 months. Attacks then moved primarily to Contra Costa County in October and lasted until July 1979. Now the rapes. So, holy shit, a lot. Okay, I got this. No fucking problemo, dum-dums. Okay, so the first rape was on June 18, 1976. That was on a Friday. It was at 4 a.m. at Rancho Cordova at Sacramento. So, well, 1 through 23 is from Sacramento. Number 24 is at San Joaquin. Number 25 through 30 is at Sacramento. And then number 31 is San Joaquin. Number 32 is Sacramento. Number 33 is Stanislaus. 34 is Yolo. 35 is Stanislaus. Number 36 and number 37 is Yolo. 38 through 40 is Contra Costa. I'll be right back, guys.